When they were courting, John and Peggy had developed a special signal so they could always find each other in crowded places, like Coney Island. It was what John called his love whistle, a sweet, melodious whistle in four beats he used only when he wanted to get Peggy's attention. When John arrived at the bottom of the steps leading to her family home in Bensonhurst on December 30th, 1945, a great deal had changed in his life. But he remembered how to do the love whistle. "When Peggy heard it," he says, "she came running out and almost took my head off." Her memory. "I had just finished making a big welcome home sign, and I was talking to John's uncle when I heard the whistle. I just ran down the steps and hugged him." MGM couldn't improve on that for a love scene. And as corny as those black and white movies about love and marriage during the war years may seem now, they were a reflection of what was happening to couples across the country. Newly married couples didn't have an opportunity to adjust slowly to the complexities of suddenly sharing a life. And then they were separated, often for years. Husbands were living in an intensely male environment, trying to deal with the stresses and dangers of war, while young wives were left at home, staying with relatives or living alone in strange cities, working when they could or caring for a child conceived before the father shipped out and born while he was away. Still, John and Peggy Asenzio were typical. When he came home, they simply resumed their life together. They loved each other. They wanted to have a family. They were faithful Catholics. They were true to the way they were raised. They were grateful the only lasting effect of the war on John was nightmares. When he went through a difficult time, thrashing around in their bed, sometimes knocking over a table lamp, occasionally sleeping on the floor to avoid hitting Peggy as he flailed out at the dark memories, she was always there to comfort him, to remind him just by her presence that they would get through this together. John says, "The war helped me love Peggy more, if that's possible, to appreciate her more." John went back to his old job as a salesman for an import-export firm. Peggy had saved some money from her teaching job during the war. They couldn't find an apartment in their family neighborhood, so they bought a home on Long Island, thus becoming part of a fundamental alteration of American life, the rise of the suburbs, and the subsequent diffusion of the family. They raised a family, two sons. Their firstborn, John Jr., a schoolteacher, died of cancer a few years ago, and they have established a scholarship in his name. Another son, Rich, is a production manager with NBC Sports. John and Peggy are proponents of women's liberation, but they worry that in trying to have it all, a career, marriage, and children, too many young women put their careers ahead of their families. Peggy, who had been a schoolteacher during the war, resumed teaching once the boys were in school themselves. She worries, "The morals have changed tremendously. The way you're told to raise your kids now, there's no discipline." Divorce is another issue they worry about. Peggy says young couples these days don't fight long enough. It's too easy to get a divorce. "We've had our arguments, but we don't give up. When my friends ask whether I ever consider a divorce, I remind them of the old saying, 'We thought about killing each other, but divorce? Never.'" John and Peggy Asenzio are not unique within their generation. They can look back on a love affair that began in the Great Depression, was consummated at the outset of World War II, survived combat and separation, and flourished in the post-war years. They were just 21 and 23 when they were married, and they could not have imagined what strains the world would put on their commitment to each other. But they believed their wedding vows were not conditional. Now, in their 57th year of marriage, that belief has not been diminished for John and Peggy. If anything, it has been strengthened by John's recurring memories of the horrors of combat. They come to him less often now, but Peggy is always there for him. As he says, "I relive it sometimes, but with the help of my wife and the love she has for me. That's how you get over it." Such marriages and values may seem curiously old-fashioned to modern young couples. They may have a difficult time relating to a love affair forged by sacrifice and separation, faith and commitment. They may not know how to measure the tensile strength such marriages bring to a society. In an age of divorce, pagers, cell phones, and fax machines, they may never know the sweet sound of a love whistle.